today on Anchored in the Word.
And a lot of times you look at that and you could ask questions there, couldn't you? What happened, Lord? I don't get it. Why did, you know? And, you know, the thing about the Lord, sometimes, I'm not saying we can never ask God questions. I think that's a good thing. But not to challenge his authority in any way. There's a difference in the two. And we can know that he's not going to always tell you everything. He doesn't have to. Many times it's a protection for you.
But I'm anchored deep in your great love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. There may have been a time in your life when you've questioned what it was that God was doing. Pastor Bill reminds us today that God knows everything. He doesn't need to reveal everything to us. In fact, it may be for our own protection that he doesn't. It's fine to ask God questions, but we need to be careful not to question God. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 15? 2 Kings, chapter 15. One of the things that's hard for a Christian, at least it's hard for this Christian, I'm assuming there's a lot of us like me out there, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the things of the Lord, the things that God is doing, because we believe that God is sovereign, that God has his hand in everything regarding what we do, and even, the Bible says he's in control of the king's hearts, in which way they will go. He can move their hearts without violating their free will. This is an amazing God we serve. I don't know how he does that, but I don't have to know how. He hasn't asked me to figure it out and explain it to everybody, but I just know that I see it. He does that in the Bible. We can see it, and he does it in our own lives. And here's the idea that I think that I have a hard time with sometimes is I don't know all the details. And sometimes I find myself asking God for the details, and it looks like this. Why, God? Or what's going on? How are you going to do this? Or I don't know how that's going to work out. And we learn, you know, at a young age, I was thinking this through, and don't you see this in very young kids? I mean, when they're very young, they'll believe anything their parents tell them. But they start asking this question, why? Why? And it can wear you out, can it, if you've got kids? Because everything that it's not now that you tell them how things are, now they want to know why things are that way. And that's a good thing. That's a good way to learn. But sometimes we can't know why. And that's just reality. We can't know why. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is talking about the second coming, I know everybody's talking about that nowadays, and, you know, the rapture and everything else. In Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking. And he says that no man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven. And by the way, he infers that he right there didn't even know. Jesus in his body, in the incarnation, didn't even know that hour. Only the Father knew. That's what he said. Only the Father knows. And so there's some information that we just can't have all the information for, right? And it should be okay with us Christians because, you know, this God that's is greater, I'm glad he's the one that's taking care of all this stuff. And we don't have to do it, right? It's enough just to run a household, isn't it? Isn't just enough to give me more than you can handle. But the idea is God's sovereign in this universe. And he does things, one of the things that the Bible says about him is he does all things well. So, you know, one of the reasons I think that we want to know sometimes how God or why God is so we can judge whether it's up to our standards. Well, you know, if I was God, I would do it differently. Every time that we say something or someone says something like, I don't know why God, what about all these, you know, suffering people in the world? What they're really saying by that is if I were God, I'd do it better. I would do it differently. And they want to criticize and judge God. And the idea is it's ridiculous to think that you could add to what he does, because he does all things well. And so this idea of, as we are in the world, as we are Christians in the kingdom, we can't always know, have all the information, even in our own lives. That's what the walk of faith is. We take God at his word, and we walk by faith. We're going to see something here in chapter 15. Taken at face value, I can see the question coming. It's looming right there in verse 5. But let's just read down to verse 5. Several kings are going to come and go on the scene in this chapter, chapter 15 of 2 Kings. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Now, this man here, by the way, he's going to be called Azariah here in chapter 15. And verse 13, he's going to be called Uzziah, and he's going to be called Uzziah in 2 Chronicles, which is a parallel chapter to these chapters. It's interesting how this works out. But he has two different names, same guy, because we know that it's the same guy, because it says there in the second, at the end of, after he reigned 52 years, his mother's name was Jecholiah of Jerusalem. And that's the same thing it says there in 2 Chronicles. Jecholiah is his mother of Jerusalem. It's very clear it's the same person, but he goes by two different names, Azariah and Uzziah. They're not that close, but the idea is that's the same guy. 16 years old, he reigned for 52 years. The second longest reigning king in the north or the south. The other guy was, don't know his name, but 55 years was the oldest, was the longest reign. This guy reigned for the at least he was alive in the figurehead for a long time. We're going to see in his situation that he reigned from afar in a sense, and his son actually took over for him because of the situation that he got himself into. Let's read verse 3. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, whenever we see that in the, there were only the kings of the south in Judah that were good, like 8 of them. And when we see this, and they did what was right in the sight of the Lord, that makes them a good king right there when we see that. Every king of the north in Israel, they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Every one of them. There was not one good king in the north. Now, these aren't perfect people. They aren't perfect kings, because it says, look what it says about this guy here. It says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, verse 3, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And then verse 4, except that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So it's a compromise. For whatever reason, his dad did the same thing, didn't deal with that. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, except there was compromise in his life. And in his case, we can see that he doesn't, even though he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, he fell in a sense, and the Lord had to judge him in that place. But his reign still was 52 years and considered a good king in Israel. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, then the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. Now you can look at that in verse 5 and you think, then it says, is that a result of him not taking down the high places or something? Because you have to imagine, it says the Lord struck him with leprosy. You're like, it just finished saying that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and then the Lord struck him with leprosy. And then you're left with thinking, well, maybe it was because he didn't take the high places down or something. And so that's all the information that we get in this chapter regarding this. It's verse 5 is it. It talks about his leprosy. And then it says, it's the second part of verse 5. He says, so he dwelt in an isolated house, and Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal house, judging the people of the land. So from this time forward, from the time that he got leprosy, he was now separated, still the king. That was part of the 52 years, but his son was really running things. He was separated from that time forth. And so as we look at this situation, and a lot of times you look at that and you could ask questions there, couldn't you? What happened, Lord? I don't get it. Why did, you know? And, you know, the thing about the Lord, sometimes, I'm not saying we can never ask God questions. I think that's a good thing, but not to challenge his authority in any way. There's a difference in the two. And we can know that he's not going to always tell you everything. He doesn't have to. Many times it's a protection for you. You know, I'm reminded of this idea. Remember back, if you're old enough, or maybe remember, loose lips sink ships. You know, loose lips sink ships. Have you heard that phrase? I see a couple of you old guys going like this, you know. But that was something that they used during, which war was that? World War II, right? Yeah. And so that was just a saying that they used to put around, you know, keep your mouth quiet. The enemy's going to pick it up. So there's a reason for that, you know. But God keeps things to himself sometimes for good reason. Good reason. And he lets us in on things, because this is what the scriptures say. Jesus said, he said, no longer, talking to Christians, his disciples, no longer do I just call you my servants, but I call you my friends. That's right. Jesus calls his followers his friends. And then he says, and I tell my friends what I'm doing. I like that one. It makes you, you know, it makes you feel like you kind of look on the inside a little bit there, right? If you know Jesus, I tell my friends what I'm doing. And that makes sense, doesn't it? You tell your friends, you have certain friends that you let in places that you wouldn't tell everybody in the world, right? That's just the way that it is. And so this idea is, yeah, that's right. And when we're in the Word of God, we're seeking the Lord. He does speak to our hearts about things that other people wouldn't know. Unfortunately, things like when the end of the world's coming, that's not one that he would say to anybody, because he would contradict himself if he said that, because he says in the Word, no man knows the day or the hour. And that means that you're not going to know the day or the hour. Now, we can know the seasons, the Bible tells. We can see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. And we know we can make sense of all the stuff that's going on in the world. A lot of the stuff that's going on in the world through prophecy, through the Word of God, it makes sense even. We don't have to be afraid. That's what he meant by, I'm telling my friends what I'm doing. So that when the craziness is going on around there, you know, like for example, Noah. He told Noah what was coming, what was happening. Noah's obedient. He tried to tell everybody else, but the point is, there's a lot of people that didn't go into the ark. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, God wanted them to know about the coming judgment. The idea is, regarding the thing that's happening now with the prediction of the end of the world being, by the way, Saturday at 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock our time. But the idea is, we know that that's not going to happen at that point in time, because that would make God a liar. So we know that that can't happen at that point. It can happen before that. But the idea is that we can't know everything. There's just some things that we can't know. Now, the beautiful thing about the Bible is Scripture interprets Scripture. The best place is to, if you want to find answers, look in the Bible. Now, here's the good thing about this. Turn to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. In this particular case, even in the parables, sometimes when Jesus tells a parable to his disciples, and then he explains the parable, some of them, right? This means this, and that's what this means. I'm like, yeah, I like those, real, you know, because he explains it for them. He lays it out for them. Not all the parables does he do that, but he does sometimes that are explained. Now, in this case about this king getting leprosy, it's in the scriptures. It tells us exactly why here in Chronicles, where it didn't say it in Kings. It says it here in let's just pick it up in verse 16. Now, this guy, again, is called Uzziah, right? This is the same guy as we saw back in chapter 15, 2 Kings, 26:16 of 2 Chronicles. But when he was strong in his heart, I'm sorry, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. This is one area that you don't mess with, because God gave the priests were there to do that. And this was God manifesting himself. These people were representing God on earth. The king had the highest place in the kingdom, but he wasn't supposed to go in and do what the priests were supposed to do in that situation. Forbidden. other men had as we've seen in the past, had died when they've done stuff like that. Remember when a guy, it's his name is actually close to Uzziah. Uzzah was his name. Remember, Uzzah touched the ark. Remember that? When they were moving the ark, his name was Uzzah. And that was forbidden. You didn't touch the ark. And remember, the cart hit a bump, and the ark started probably teetering. And Uzzah goes, "Oh, I'm going to stop that." That was it. Uzzah died right there. He touched the ark. Only the priests were to carry that. And they were to carry, they had poles. That they weren't even near the thing. They were sticking out there, and they would carry it. The thing would get covered up when they moved it. The idea was there were some things that are just forbidden. And God judged. Here we see that he gets this idea. He was puffed up with pride, and he was going to basically, do it his way. Verse 17 says, "So Azariah the priest went in after him." And I love it because these men of God stood up for what was right. It didn't matter what it cost them. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they stood up for God. Verse 17 says, "So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah. That was huge. I mean, that could have been their lives right there. That was huge. But they stood up because they realized, we're not going to fear a man, even if he's a king. We're going to fear God. And they stood up to him, and they said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." You see, that was their, it wasn't just a, "Hey, that's my job. You can't be doing my job. It's job security here." No, it wasn't like that. They feared for the kingdom, for the king and for the kingdom as a result of this. And then he says in verse 19, "Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. By the way, when it speaks about Isaiah, that's chapter 1. You can look at that later. Now, I don't know what you see when you see that, this idea of, wow, man, it's a serious business to go against what God says. And maybe some people would ask the question, because you can look in the Old Testament, by the way, and see a lot of things that God did, that God ordered. A lot of people look and point at the killing that was God told the people to do. Keep in mind, if you've been in the military, anybody ever have a top secret clearance in here? Okay. You're not supposed to raise your hand, right? I can't tell you. Some of you have real top secret. You can't even admit to it, right? But anyway, the idea is, you can't talk about certain things, but you've been given information on a need-to-know basis. And it's necessary. But the idea is, and maybe you even know the big picture. See, that's what I'm talking about here, the big picture. In this situation, even though we can get a little bit more of an understanding of what happened and what led to him getting leprosy, we know that God struck him, and we see that it came from him, being in a prideful place and disobeying. And by the way, it wasn't just about that man, because that was a judgment. It was a judgment on him. But notice that he still was the king for 52 years. His son came in and took care of business while he was separated from the people. But the idea was, it wasn't just about fixing a man or judging a man. There was a much bigger picture than that. We're talking about a nation here. But more than that, we're talking about a promise that was given. We're talking about the God of the universe, because remember, he can see the end from the beginning. And the promise was that the Messiah had to come through the line of David, and that included the kings of the southern kingdom. So God had to deal with things in a certain way to make sure that the end worked out just the way that he said it was going to work out. It's called divine intervention. And he doesn't have to get permission to do that. What he does do is he does it, he won't violate his word, though. He doesn't have to lie and deceive to do it. That's one thing that he can't do. It's impossible for God to lie. But know this, that there's always a bigger picture. And God is working out the big picture, his plan. And you're part of that plan. And you know, one of the problems that we have, and when we have this problem, and we get stressed out and worried and everything else, because we're all about me. Look what's happening to me. And look what God's allowed to happen in my life. And man, I become more stressed out when the focus becomes me. And how? By the way, that's what happens to all of us when we get in that way. When we end up having a pity party or whatever it would be. The focus is all about me, and I've forgotten the big picture. And the one who does all things well, and the way that I get out of that mode that I'm talking about, it can lead to depression and everything else. I got to get my focus back on him. I don't need to know the big picture. By the way, that's not going to help me necessarily. Understanding. If I just had understanding of what you're doing. No, that's not true. I might not even want to know what the end result is. The idea is what I can have that's better than understanding is peace that surpasses understanding. That I can have. How do I have that? When I let him be God and me just go along with whatever he wants to do. And we go through tough times in life, you know, tough situations in life. And there's nothing more, according to the scriptures, for a tough situation for a Christian is a chance for us to grow up and mature. Every tough spot we go through. But we need to trust him through it. And that means not knowing the big picture necessarily. But knowing that he knows the big picture, he's working out his plan in our lives. So what I would say to you, and some people, again, the short-sighted people, the people that can't see the big picture or they can't understand that there even is a big picture, would look at this and say, I can't believe that a loving God would do something like that, give a man leprosy. Here he calls him, he's done what's right in the sight of the Lord. He makes one mistake and look what happens to him.
The book of 2 Kings reveals to us the history of God's chosen people, the Israelites. As Pastor Bill continues to walk us through this book, we find one truth standing out to us. God means what he says. Is God telling you something today? Maybe he's asking you to turn from sin and accept the free gift of salvation offered to you by Jesus. If you have questions about who Jesus is, or you'd like to know how you can have a personal relationship with him, we'd love to tell you more. You can find detailed information right on our website at anchoredintheword.com. Just hover over the link titled Pastor Bill and click on How to Know Jesus. We'd also be happy to talk personally with you about how Jesus can change your life. Just give us a call at 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. We also encourage you to find a church home that will help guide you in your walk with Jesus. And if you're in the Eatontown, New Jersey area, we'd love to have you join us at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. Each week we gather together to worship our Savior and study his word. And we'd be honored to share that time with you. Head on over to our website at anchoredintheword.com and click on Calvary Chapel Coastlands to find directions and service times. Thank you for tuning in to Anchored in the Word and Pastor Bill's continuing study of the book of 2 Kings. We pray that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.